Some places are sacred, Tommy.
Oh, yeah.
Churches, schools.
Your standards.
This place we're going to discuss. And when you make big mistakes at these types of places, folks are going to want you thrown out forever. What's funny about this story, however, it's the most laid-back place that people can be furious you ruined. And it can take just a simple mistake to ensure you are never, ever invited back again.
Banned?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. By the way, we're not only live on a microphone, we're live on camera, baby.
What?
That's right. The Odyssey app, WCMF.com, YouTube or Twitch. Log on, The Break Room, WCMF on YouTube or Twitch. Catch a live stream. I guess we got to talk about this later this week. We have been adding one piece of Bills memorabilia, apparently, for every Bills win the last couple of weeks.
Kind of feels like it, yeah.
There's now a flag behind Tommy's head.
We still have no idea how it got there.
No idea where it came from, because we discovered, we thought somebody put it up, but didn't. We'll talk about that later this week. By the way, our WCMF live stream, brought to you by Three Heads Brewing, stock up with Kind IPA for the big game this weekend. And speaking of the big game. Bills Ravens, Sunday night, 6:30, live on WCMF. And a later game, Tommy, means the tailgate scene at the stadium will be insane.
Oh, yeah, because you got all day to work it up.
That's right. I mean, it was already nuts on Sunday.
Yeah.
But if you're going to tailgate, there are some unspoken rules you need to know.
Okay.
So I was there on Sunday. My brother, his buddy, we got a spot that we hang.
Your crew.
And we're pretty low-key tailgate now. Start a fire, have a couple of beers, you know. The folks we parked next to, dynamite setup.
All right.
They had a couple of tents.
Oh.
They had a portable Blackstone.
No.
Ooh.
Nice.
Bro, this thing looked nice, right? Great tunes going, fantastic sound system. They had like 10 to 15 people there, table set up, so they got their nice little conclave there. Very sweet. And Kimmy, you know how tailgating goes.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody brings something.
Yeah.
Everybody
You know, everybody contributes something.
Feed me. So the guy responsible next to us for bringing the meat to grill.
So he had a big job then.
I mean, that's
oh, yeah. key.
It's the job.
You're the headliner.
He made a horrible mistake.
So he's got that fancy Blackstone.
So I don't think his was the Blackstone because he would not have made this mistake.
But he's going to be cooking on it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I'm guessing guy with Blackstone is a pro.
Yeah. Right. I think guy who brought the burgers did not have association with the Blackstone. He just brought the meat.
So what's wrong with the burgers?
He brought frozen burgers.
Oh, those would be delicious come Kansas City. Why would you bring frozen pans?
I don't know. They were like rock solid.
Yeah, they take frozen. How are you going to defrost them when it's freezing?
I mean, this is like
put
basic
them on the car?
Grill 101. This goes beyond tailgating. This was a big grill mistake, period.
So did he chins out and buy that sleeve of frozen burgers?
No. They were actually, they looked like premium frozen burgers, too. They were individually like vacuum sealed wrapped frozen burgers, but they were frozen solid. And the funny thing is, these people are from Rochester, too, so if you can hear me, I'm sorry, but this has to be spoken. They took the burgers out to like thaw them, and they put them on the ice frozen ground.
Yeah.
It's freezing.
Tough to thaw in this kind of weather.
And this kid, too, he's like in his early 20s, right? And then, even worse, he was the only Broncos fan in a crew of like 15 people. Okay. And I don't, Tommy.
Yeah.
I don't think you're appreciating how bad a scene this is.
Oh, it's got to be rough because now you can't eat.
Yeah. You got a group of hungry people excited for a game.
Put the setup ready to go.
Oh.
Kimmy, they're obviously pro tailgaters.
Yeah.
Everything looked pro. And this man is keeping us from eating.
Yes.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Would that be enough to keep you from inviting that man to your tailgate ever again?
Well, even if he comes, you're definitely not giving him any responsibilities.
But if he doesn't have responsibilities, why are you inviting him? Everybody eats, like Tommy said.
Well, because you don't want to say to his face, we don't want you here anymore.
After that incident, I don't care how nice a kid he is, I would say that to his face.
If he's a fringe guy, like if he's not normally here, which I'm guessing maybe he's not, or
Broncos
just, you know, comes occasionally.
Sure.
Yeah, you can tell that guy it's time. We're moving on from
you. Could you give him a break?
Because it's the first time.
He's got one more time to redeem himself, but he's really got to step
up. Oh, no, you're not giving that guy that responsibility,
No, he
though.
Could step up.
You brought frozen burgers.
You brought burger pucks.
Thank you.
Burger pucks.
Bro. Because, like, think about this, too. Like, the pucks did not come out until, like, an hour and a half into tailgate. So I've already been drinking all morning.
So he didn't even get.
No, he was there. They just didn't come out of the cooler. Well, like, they were in the cooler. Nobody knew. Oh, and they took him out, and everyone's like, oh. And I'm howling. I was already drunk. I'm howling with laughter.
Did they attempt to try to cook a frozen burger on a grill?
No. How?
I don't know, but, you know, out of desperation, you're so damn hungry. Give it a shot.
But, like, bro, I'm already, you know, three beers deep. I got to put some food in me. And here's the thing, man. Like, I love going to Bills games. Food in that stadium's awful.
Oh, yeah.
And it's expensive, so that's not going to help me.
Right.
All right. Here's the question.
Right.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. What are the international, no questions asked, you are banned from the tailgate from this day forward party fouls? Because growing up in that lot, you know, I've been going to those games there with my old man since I was four years old. No story is too insane to hear from that lot to go, that didn't happen. Yeah. Like the things that I watched growing up.
Yeah.
I'm banning Frozen Burger Guy only because it's such an unforced error. And you chintzed. I mean, it sounds like he chintzed. Okay, Kimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the number one, you are never coming back, banned for life tailgate?
So I can think of a perfect example of somebody who, and I don't know who invited this person, but they never came back. The guy unwilling to share anything he brought.
That guy's a dick.
He only brought stuff for himself. You couldn't take any of his beers because he had a specific number for himself.
Okay.
And he kept his eye on everything that he brought and wanted to let you know, like, that was his thing.
Yeah,
like, the person unwilling to share is definitely somebody that I wouldn't invite back.
She's right. 100%. Yeah, because, like, what's the point of even hanging out, man?
Right, it was weird. Like, if somebody accidentally went into, like, his cooler and he's like, oh, no, that's my cooler. It was just such a weird thing to say to somebody. Like,
oh, that happened.
So territorial guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know who invited this person. This was a couple years ago. But I remember my husband and I driving home being like, that was weird, right? Like, the fact that he wouldn't share anything. And he brought, like, plenty. He didn't go through all of his stuff.
You know, it's funny Kimmy brings this up because we were talking after the show yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills tailgate scene is so welcoming.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is. It's like
a party.
It's a tiny little community. Yeah. Everybody is so nice. Everyone wants to hang out with everybody. We were wondering, if you walked into a tailgate, did not bring any beer, did not bring any food, could you get drunk and stuffed just on free stuff?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, too.
Just walking around?
Yeah, because I think everybody brings, like, five beers more than they think they need for every tailgate, just in case.
Well, I'm just thinking, if you're walking around and you just strike up a conversation with somebody that's got a party going on, they're probably going to offer you something.
Thank you.
But you're just standing there.
Yes.
And you could just be, like, moved out stall to stall, man, and eat all the freebies.
Even if you say, no, I'm good, you still got to offer people.
Yeah, because you're just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I'll go even further on the beer. Even if the guy's willing to share, if he is the beer bringer, because every once in a while you have the international beer bringer for the party, you bring cheap beer, I'm out.
Yeah.
And like, okay, there's a soft spot you have to hit when it comes to the worth of the beer at the tailgate, right? Because you can't bring the cheapest of the cheap.
All right.
Because I saw
some guys like the cheapest of the cheap.
Kimmy, I watched a dude in his 40s drinking Natty Ice on Sunday.
Okay, all right. There is a line, you're right.
But you also don't want, like, super high-end craft beers if you're long drinking.
They're heavy.
So, like,
you gotta pace yourself.
Man. Yeah. So, like, the sweet spot is, like, Labatt's Bud Coors.
Yeah.
Like, I brought Jenny Light. I love drinking Jenny Light on game day.
Okay.
Well, you made a face.
Well, because some people would see that as the the cheap option.
Well, no. I mean, look, I think that we can agree, if you bring Bush or Natty Ice to a tailgate party,
if you bring something you drank in college kind of thing or in your early 20s.
What if you brought non-traditional tailgate alcohol?
For example?
Wine.
Oh, I've seen wine in the lot.
No ladies there, but some dude brought some wine.
Well, I mean,
I don't think wine's as uncommon as you think.
Okay.
I will say this. If I put someone in charge of the alcohol and he brings wine, you're banned.
Okay.
But I'm not going to judge someone for bringing wine for themselves.
All right. What about Veggie Burger Guy?
Yeah, no, get that guy out of here. Well, hold on.
Well, unless they're bringing it for themselves.
Yeah, did they bring it for everybody or just for them?
Well, they brought enough for everybody if everybody would like some.
If I'm not forced to eat the veggie burger.
But you got to prepare them on your Blackstone. Like, he hands you. And by the way, those things are a bitch to cook because they fall apart. Man, vegetarians showing up for a grill suck.
I mean, if it's just for them, though, as long as you're not forcing your veggie burgers,
but you got to grill.
Okay, fine, fine. Hey, I'm trying to be welcoming here, minus all these things.
So I show up with my veggie burger, my bottle of red.
One of the worst Billy Joel songs of all time. I mean, what, the veggie burger and the wine would bother you? You look like veggie burger wine guy.
Yeah, but I'm not.
252-WCMF. We're talking about your automatic, unspoken, everybody agrees, ban from the tailgate after I watched a poor kid, only Broncos fan, in a group of 15 people, professional tailgate. He was responsible for bringing the meat, and he brought frozen burgers. Frozen burgers. He's gone for life. Get him out. Mark's on CMF. Hey, Mark. How are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning, Kimmy. Hey, so here's the thing. Other than the box of free Omaha steaks that I got from some doofy tall guy with a beard on that he left on his car one tailgate, I bring Costco frozen Angus burgers every time I cook them on the Blackstone. They turn out awesome.
No, they don't.
I cook them with bacon.
No, they don't.
They're actually a little bit of pink in the middle. They're the best. Everybody says, wow, you make a great burger.
Wait, you put them on frozen? You drop them frozen?
I'm getting a bunch of calls of guys saying they do that.
No. No.
That doesn't
sound
good.
And here's the thing. And here's why you're dumb. So
there you go. Hey, Tim, write it down, Pat. Here is why you are dumb, Pat.
I get the Blackstone piping hot. And then I put the frozen burger on there, and you get that hard sear. I mean, you get that crispy sear on that meat. And it's still pink in the middle.
Pat.
No. But is it cold in the middle?
No, it's not cold.
I'm asking.
Nah, it's not cold. No, listen to the guy who lost 150 pounds on how to cook a good cut of meat. Shut up, skinny bitch. You skinny ass bitch. I saw you.
Yeah, didn't you lose like me?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, what'd you lose? 150, Mark? What'd you tell me?
162 right now.
Wait, how much did you lose?
You know why? Eating frozen burgers.
Oh, licking them?
No, I lost 162.
Jesus Christ, how big were you, man?
I was a big boy.
Were you 400 pounds?
Close.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, look, I see.
That's impressive. When I see somebody 400 pounds, I'm not grossed out. I'm impressed. Commitment.
Mark came out to the Bill Gray's Taproom at Chi-Lai a couple weeks ago.
He came out. It took him 2 hours.
He goes, hey. And I go, what? What's up? He goes, hey. And he started talking.
He didn't recognize
I heard his stupid voice. Like, oh, my God. He looks great. He looks fantastic. Wow. But it's because he's eating crappy burgers at the tailgate. That's why.
Yeah, and free Omaha steaks.
Yeah, but, you don't know what to do now when I compliment you, you dick, huh? How about that?
Yeah, I know. All right. Hey, I gotta go. I'm kind of bored with you guys.
Bye, Mark. Have a good rest of the
so
day.
I know my
there
wife
are some guys
does
really
something.
Upset with us with this.
Screw them.
I know my wife does something I think a lot of people find annoying, and it's not her like, she would go to something like this.
Oh, bringing you places?
That. And straightening up. Putting things away.
Oh, organizing?
No, like, hey, if everybody's done with this, I'm going to close this up and put it in here. If you want any more of it, it'll be over here.
Yeah, but
like, this is going to go bad. Like, she starts to become the food monitor, and I think a lot of women turn into, like, that role, and I think a lot of guys just want to leave that stuff out because I'm going to eat it. I don't care if it's room temperature. I may want it in an hour. I don't want to go on a hunt for it.
No, I love your wife. That bothers the hell out of
me. Really? I kind of appreciate that person, though, especially when you're starting to wrap things up. They already have it already ready to go for when you're ready to go into the game.
Maybe then, but it starts way early.
Look, I got my system. I can get that stuff put away in 5 minutes. Like, let's just leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we got Facebook messages coming in. We're talking about what can get you banned from a tailgate in Orchard Park, which is pretty tough to do.
Yeah.
To Mark's point, he says, there's nothing that can get you banned from a real tailgate.
Nothing.
Oh, he says real tailgate.
All right.
The first time I met my brother-in-law was a Bills game. He got so drunk he fell in our bonfire.
Oh, Jesus.
And we had to pull him out. We've been tailgating most weeks for 12 years now. Kimmy, your buddy sets themselves on fire.
Mm.
Are they banned from the tailgate?
I think they learned their own lesson there.
So wait, you're telling them they can come back?
I would hope that they don't set themselves on fire twice.
But, see, the word hope is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
All right, here's my deal. I give you one skin graft.
Okay, I'll tell you. There's two things
that
will automatically get you banned from my personal tailgate.
What's that?
One, if we are driving together and you're late.
Mm.
Okay.
Because if you want to do a good tailgate, every Bills fan knows timing is everything.
And then you're anxious the whole way there.
Yeah.
The difference in 5 to 10 minutes of getting to the stadium can mean no traffic, great spot, versus 30 minutes in standstill traffic, and you're next to the porta potty. If you are late, more than 5 minutes late to my house,
gotta get my spot.
You're banned. We're never going again. And the biggest one, if you are team negativity, you're banned from my tailgate party.
Oh, like during the game?
Before or after the game. If you are a negative Bills fan, before the game,
but you're, we could be nervous fan. Together, right?
But you're crapping on them.
Okay, yeah. Nervous is fine. Yes. If you are a Bills fan, even if you're a fan of the like, I got no problem bringing opposing fans in. If you come in and be like, get out. Look, it's why I can't tailgate with my old man anymore.
He's a negative guy?
Bro, after the games, we would get in shouting matches because he goes all sky is falling, Bills takes half. I'm telling you, man, like we would be chest to chest screaming at each other over, you know, Bryce Pop and Sam Cowart and J.P. Lawson.
All right.
I'm getting angry just thinking about it. Oh, we got more Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. Justin writes us on Facebook. How do you ban someone from a tailgate? You're standing in a parking lot. They can just come over and stand near you. Mm-hmm. Getting them to go is what leads to confrontation and things going bad. It would be hard to tell someone to leave.
Yeah, where true. Are they going? I mean, you can't really officially put a ban on
right.
them.
Go stand just, over there.
You just try not to tell them where you are.
Yeah. Well, okay, but that's the other problem. Right. So when it comes to like inviting people you know, that's where you can institute the ban after that tailgate.
Right.
But the one thing, Kimmy, you know, a lot of Bills fans take pride in being in the same spot, doing the same thing every week.
Yeah, usually, you're not moving around much.
Exactly. And if that person you don't want to hang out with comes one time, if they come again, they can always come and find
you. They can find you.
Oh, sure. They know where you are.
And Justin's right. Like, you don't want to, in that moment, look them in the face and be like, get out.
Leave. I think you're going to start subtly blowing them off.
But how?
And everyone's drinking. And again, it's like a community. Kind of someone in that tailgate party is going to engage them.
Yeah, they're always that one drunk dick.
Mm. Yeah. But you don't really want to be around that guy either.
No.
Well, it depends on how long I've known him for.
I guess.
There are some drunk dicks I love.
Oh, I bet.
You heard me. You heard what I said.
Can't get enough of them.
We got one more Facebook page before we move on. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. Again, we're talking about what can get you banned for life from a tailgate party. This is a weird one.
Right.
Dave writes us, anyone that brings glass bottles to the tailgate, you're going to blow my tires, and it's a threat of someone throwing a glass bottle at my head. Glass bottles means no coming back.
So all cans?
Yeah.
All right.
I heard, yeah. Isn't that how you like it?
Oh, I love it in a can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I go can first all the time.
Okay, I will say this.
They used to call me the can man.
Okay. Hey, well, prepare yourself, can man. I enjoy beer in bottles more than in cans.
Okay,
but I do subscribe to the can only.
Makes
tailgate.
Life easier.
I don't think you're allowed to have glass in the Bills lot.
Oh, in like the official Bills lot.
I think so. Yeah, but who parks there anymore? Lamos and weirdos.
I can't remember the last time I parked in that lot. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, the lot opens at 9. That's not enough time.
Yeah.
It's not enough time, right? I need to get there at 6:45 in the morning to get enough tailgating time in before 1 o'clock.
Get your can on.
There you go. For having not ideal weather most of the year, we in upstate New York sure love our outdoor activities.
Oh, sure.
In fact, one of the most popular is when the weather's at its most disastrous. That being said, you can also make a pretty solid argument that this season we're going to talk about is the best season for any outdoor New York activity.
You mean you're saying better than summer?
Yes. Because when it comes to what you get out of this upstate season, it's universally loved.
Mm.
Universally. You're hanging out in the Break Room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5, WCMF. Ladies and gentlemen, we have hit maple season.
Oh, get your syrup.
It kicked off over the weekend at Kettle Ridge Farms in Victor. Homemade maple syrup. Mm. On stacks of pancakes. And
so they serve you there, right?
Oh, yeah. You know how these places go. And this specific place, Kettle Ridge Farms in Victor, according to the story on 13WHAM, they let you do it fancy if you want.
How so?
You have the option to enjoy your pancakes in a VIP heated igloo.
Oh, they're getting in on the igloo craze.
Look, man, as we've talked about many times on the show before, when you're an igloo person, you are better than everybody else.
You go glue or go
VIP.
Home.
Go glue or go home. But for most of us, the maple syrup trip is as follows. You go check out some of the outdoor stuff, right?
Yeah, you're dying to get to those pancakes.
The pancakes are the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
But you put on your boots, your coat, you walk through the woods.
You suffer.
You look at the trees, the sugar shack. Then
you check out your tree batch.
You head on to the big old farm-like building
to
stuff your face with pancakes. And Kimmy, in the wintertime, people waiting to get those pancakes, those lines can go on forever.
I have yet to experience this. I need to get out there and try this.
You've never done this?
No, but I know people that rave about it every year.
You've done it, right?
Oh, yeah. We go every year. My wife loves it.
How good are the pancakes?
Delicious.
Yeah.
What do you mean, how good are the pancakes?
Well, I mean, you can only take pancakes so far.
Have you ever had a bad pancake?
No, but I've never had one where I went, God damn.
Well, when this is
that's a pancake.
Well, when this is like the specialty, the pancakes have got to be good.
And it's not the pancake; it's just a vehicle to get to what you're there for.
Syrup,
the homemade maple syrup.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, is this one of those things where you know, how, like, sometimes you don't really appreciate something until you see where it comes from and how it's made? For whatever reason, it just makes it that much more appetizing.
Yeah,
is that what how this the syrup thing
what
goes
it takes to? Because
I don't think much about the syrup. For me, it was always about the pancake. But maybe if I, you know, saw the syrup in progress. may really make me appreciate it more.
You know, I never thought about it that way, but you might be on this.
There's something about like the atmosphere, the smell of it all. It makes you just really appreciate the syrup.
Look, there will be folks waiting in line in the middle of nowhere in the cold and snow for like an hour just for the opportunity to try the syrup that just came off the line. And here's, Kimmy, what really bothers me.
What really bothers you?
The phone number is 252-WCMF.
Big man making that...
Symbol with his hands. 2529. It looks like he's J.O. on the keyboard.
You're doing the same thing.
No, I was. No, you do
dueling.
This thing. J.O.'s? Dueling Keebler J.O.'s? Tommy, you don't get it.
I'm not a big syrup sweet guy, and I don't really like pancakes. They're all right, but I like bacon and eggs, sausage and eggs.
You don't. When's the last time you had bacon and eggs?
Well, when I was fat.
Yeah.
But I don't like.
But you never liked pancakes?
They're okay. I never liked French toast or waffles.
Okay, French toast, there's an argument to be made there.
No, there isn't.
Just soggy as burnt bread.
No.
Who doesn't like pancakes? I almost feel sorry for you that you don't.
You say that about everything I say.
Because you live a pathetic life.
But this one's really sad. Because every kid loved pancakes. Like, you never even loved pancakes as a kid.
Yeah, I probably did it as a kid.
Okay. All right. No, but that's not the take that bothers me.
Mm-hmm. What's the take?
The take that blinds me with rage.
What's that?
Is that you believe... the plastic syrup bottles made by some conglomerate in a factory.
Log Cabin.
Are the same.
Yes.
It's just as quality syrup as the syrup they make
here.
They get the job done, but not quite the same.
No.
Like when I go to Canada and you see like they have like that maple syrup in the maple leaf.
Yeah.
And the thing's like $50.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Are you going to dump it on some pancakes?
But aren't you curious?
Wine.
Aren't you curious to try? And some people make the same argument for wine. What's the difference between, you know, a $100 bottle of wine versus a $12 bottle of wine?
But what's that one where they lay the syrup out and they put it on a stick and then they freeze it?
I don't know what it's called, but I've seen it,
But they do it in Canada where you'll see people walking around.
Oh, yeah, they'll make, like, syrup candies.
But
that's kind of gross me out.
Sucking on a goddamn.
Yeah, because it's delicious.
Syrup sucking.
Canucks. Look,
Lush.
Syrup is such a big deal in Canada. And I'm not making this up. There is a government agency that is solely responsible for how much syrup gets sold every year.
Released.
You can Google it. It's a dead end. There was like controversy in it. There was a scandal involving this department a couple of years ago.
So there's a movie out, right, a series out right now on, I think it's on Amazon. I'm dying to watch. It's called Sticky.
Okay.
And it's about these group of Canadians that try to steal all this maple syrup. And
it's a documentary?
No, it's a movie.
Oh.
It's a series, but it looks like a comedy, like it goes horribly wrong.
Okay.
But you might want to check it out. It's called Sticky. It looks pretty good.
Anything with syrup, I'm in on.
I know.
Look, I promise you right now, if we were to blind taste test Big Syrup versus the,
are you kidding
versus
me,
the mom
man?
And pop real maple syrup in this room, I will tell you the difference right away. It is night and day.
Give me some good
difference.
Old-fashioned American Log Cabin.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Kettle Ridge Farms and Victor kicked off maple season over the weekend. I would argue, and here's the argument.
What's that?
I am here to tell you that maple syrup season is the best upstate New York outdoor season.
Really?
All right, let's break them down.
You got your apple season?
Apple picking in August, September. Pumpkins in October.
That's the beast Halloween, man.
There's been a bunch.
Farms and stuff.
Okay, hold on. We got time. Let me lay them all out.
Fried cakes.
Then we'll decide.
Okay, you have a bunch more outdoor holiday stuff now in December, like market there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's festival season in the summertime. So you got five. Syrup, apple, pumpkin, holiday, festival.
Summer.
Kimmy?
Yeah.
Of those five, which is your favorite?
Come on, pancake girl.
It's tough.
No. Go have your pancakes.
No. You were listening. I said I never experienced pancake season, so I guess I can't really judge, but
I feel
it's
sad
tough
for
to,
you. You've never experienced pancakes.
It's tough to compete with apple season.
I mean,
like the smell of like the apple cider, the fry cakes.
Well, that's the kind
the
of
pies.
The fall.
I just think like that's like peak outdoor food.
How do you both
season.
Pass on summer?
Summer, no.
Like you have.
We didn't ask you yet. It's not your turn.
Yeah, no, it's
you
not
have
your turn.
Gorgeous mild summers where you're not dying of the
I
heat.
Love like, summer.
Mild but my ass.
Bro, go south. Go south.
Yeah, I don't want to go south. That's why I live here, and all of a sudden it became it's, 95
it's,
degrees.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
There's so much. There's so many things to do though in the summer.
Right.
That
so
it's
enjoy.
Competing with so much though.
But you could do everything.
No, yeah. But I don't want to go stand at the Jazz Fest in 95 degree weather and pay $25 for a gyro on a stick. Hey, I'm sweating through a collared
shirt.
Go
to the ball games, don't you?
Yeah, but I could go into the not hot part for a little while. And they got way better food there, man. No, okay. I will argue. So you're arguing festival season.
Well, I take summer.
Okay.
I'm a summer guy. Florida boy.
Yeah, no, I could tell in your cable knit fishing sweater this morning. Kimmy, I'm going to argue that apple season is the worst season.
Well, that's fall.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are you combining apple and pumpkin season?
Well, no, because apple
is separate. I was kind of combining apple and pumpkin.
Okay, no, apple and pumpkin are separate because apple is like late August, early September,
whereas
pumpkin is more late October.
You're talking October.
Okay.
So like apple season, it is always so hot.
But you get apple pie.
In late, like, okay, but.
You like
but.
Your pie, boy.
Yeah, I think for me it's more the food.
Okay, but here's the thing. Like with the maple syrup stuff, if I want the authentic maple syrup, I got to go on the whole like tour.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. With apple season, you can just go to the farmer's market that the thing is and buy the
thing. Yeah, you can listen to a long diatribe on apples.
Yeah, you could do it however you want. You can do the long way. I could just go grab the food from the farm and take it all in.
And get my apples away.
But I can't do it however I want because during apple season, I got my wife and kids. They live for this stuff.
The picking?
So I got to go out into the field.
Hard labor.
Do manual labor. Yes. There's always bees.
I never understood that, man.
So many bees.
Yeah.
Right? And the payoff is not great because, yes, you get an apple pie or an apple fritter, but it ain't worth the 3 hours in 85-degree weather I got to put in. Plus,
for $7 of apples.
The literal juice.
You pay more than that at Wegmans.
Well, yeah, only because he eats his high-end East Side apples.
This is in season.
That was the best Tommy impression she's ever done. And it's not even like there's, like, tradition involved in apple picking.
Well, I
season?
Would say it kind of.
Well, no, like
apple country.
I mean, like that's something. It always reminds me of being a kid when, like, when school started and fall started. You know.
No, but here's the thing: pumpkin season can be rough, but the kids get really into it.
Oh yeah,
right, because of Halloween.
And it's endless now.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking more pumpkin season then. Would you still have all the apple pies and stuff?
Fair enough. Then? But like with Christmas season or the holiday villages, like you get pictures with the pumpkins and the trees, and you make holiday memories that last forever. Apple picking season was invented by the people who run Instagram to load their app with women wearing cute boots and yoga pants and vest in a field pretending like it's not 85 degrees out when they took that photo. It's just a big scam, man.
But going out now in this dreary today, the wind chill is 2.
And you might not even get it, like the snow in wintery
field. I want to go trek through this crap to get to your goddamn
pancakes at the end of
it's
the
pancakes,
tunnel.
Bro.
I can make pancakes.
No, you can't.
Not the same.
No.
I can whip up a batch of pancakes.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
When's the last time you ate a pancake?
Ate a pancake. For a while.
20 years? Jinx!
Been 20 years since I've had any fun in my mouth. Food.
No
food.
Kidding. Wait.
Food.
Oh. But you said fun, because I could have changed that real quick.
Well, I mean, I like fun in my mouth.
You got to be kidding me. There's this new season that the county's working with. They actually paired up with me because I'm a big radio star.
Wait, what are you doing?
Well, it's called Fun in Your Mouth season.
Where would I find
No, we have an informational kiosk.
Where is that located?
That would be in the men's room.
Yeah, but there's somebody in there. What's the name of it?
The kiosk is called Uncle Pat's Open Your Mouth. I'm about to give you a bunch of fun splatter in your mouth sauce from my wood to your table. By table, I mean your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or my lips.
I can honestly. Do you want to take that back?
By the way, if you're watching the live stream, you saw the funniest thing that's happened all day. The look that Kimmy just gave, you would have thought he shot her dog.
I will say, when it comes to pancake season, I've never had a homemade pancake tastes as good as one at a diner or a restaurant.
Yeah, diner cakes are probably the best.
So you can only get those pancakes at certain places.
That's a good take.
So that may be, you know, another draw for
every
pancake
dad
season.
Thinks they can make pancakes.
Well, I mean, you can.
They
want to
do that little production
homemade
on the grill, flipping them around. They can't do crap.
You can make them at home. They're just not going to be as good.
Yeah.
No, look, I will never say no to a pancake, and I've never had a bad pancake. But I think your take is right that outside pancakes better than home pancakes.
Diner pancake.
Well, I mean, diner. There was some.
Well, it's cooked on that grill. It's had everything else cooked on it, so you get all that flavor.
Oh, please tell me more, fennel bitch. Let me tell you about things I know. You want to tell me about going to Mars too? Because it's the same thing. You know the same amount. 25GWCMF, we're talking about maple season kicked off at Kettle Ridge Farms in Victor over the weekend. I'm here to argue it's the best season, outdoor season, in Western New York. Kimmy's taking apple season, which is the worst. Tommy wants summertime. Mm-hmm. I want the summertime season. Scott writes us on Instagram. He said carnival season, which I guess would be festival
summer.
Season.
Yeah.
And he's arguing all the fried foods are why.
Well, you do get all that crazy-ass summer food.
Here's the problem, though. Look, I love me some unique fried foods.
Yeah.
And I do love me a small town carnival. But it depends on the day that you go. Mm-hmm. Because if you go
on a day, you don't want you don't want those fried Oreos in the middle of the day, right? You don't want hot foods.
There's also the people around you. You know, I played in that bagpipe band.
So you hit all of them.
I am well versed in the greater Rochester area tour of firemen's carnivals. Mm-hmm. There are some days where you get there and it's a bunch of families having a grand old
time.
Oh,
sure. Yeah.
And then there are some days where you get there and it's like a dude who hasn't showered in 5 days.
Oh, you mean weirdo day.
Wearing a sleeveless Insane Clown Posse t-shirt, right? Trying to hit on the 14-year-old girl that's working the dart booth, right? He's got one of them ankle monitors on. Don't know why. Don't want to know why.
Right.
And, it's also hard to eat.
The carny hour.
Day. That guy don't even work for the carnival.
That's what's so sad about him.
He put an application and they said, we're going to pass, but thank you.
But he has the same bathing hat.
No, and there's something about those foods are delicious, but if it's 95 degrees out, it's hard for me to muscle down.
July is tough for fried foods.
Thank you. Maybe we should do a fried food festival.
Winter carnival.
Early spring.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Kick it off.
Thank you. No, because I'm kind of with you on the cold fried food, because if you get it, you got to eat it right away.
But you will anyway. Who lingers on fried food? Anybody gets fried food, just shoves it down their gullet.
You know, the one festival, or the one, thing that's hit or miss, I think, in the greater Rochester area is the Lilac Festival.
Yeah, because the weather's so iffy.
Exactly. Sunny and 60 is perfect for fried foods and having a couple
walking
of drinks.
Around,
got it, right? And you can get that with the Lilac Festival, so you get your music and all that fun stuff. But it can also be 30 degrees and sleeting sideways.
Rainy, muddy.
I remember going out there, and it was sleeting.
And it's a spring-themed festival.
It's a toss-up.
Yeah.
It doesn't work
when
it's sleeting. The weather will make the Lilac Festival either the best outdoor thing of the year.
Yeah, to kick it off.
Or the worst outdoor thing of the year. So go get your pancakes. And don't listen to this man. Buy your local syrup.
Yes, support those people.
You should, man.
Screw the people at Log Cabin.
Yeah.
And whoever else. I don't even know who else makes amounts of syrup.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot Log Cabin.
Oh, yeah, Wegmans. Wegmans has got it.
Is Wegmans like Wegmans?
Well, it's even better.
It's Wegmans, but nobody's bald. We're right on the edge of a potential technological explosion.
So what is this crazy vehicle you speak of?
Well, look, man, if this works, which the scientific experts say it's just a matter of time now, it would change everything.
Right.
Because the world is already smaller than it's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
But what if I told you, you could be in Europe before lunchtime?
So, you said an hour and a half.
You hanging out in the break room? Yeah, why?
Because it takes, what did it take you to get to London?
6 hours.
And you're going to trim that down to an hour and a half.
I mean, I didn't stutter, buddy.
Okay.
You hanging out at the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Yesterday, a story talked to three different companies that are working to design a supersonic jet commuter plane.
Okay.
Supersonic jet commuter commuter plane?
Yeah. Supersonic jet
commuter plane.
Commuter plane.
Because we had the Concorde.
Okay, put a pin in it. We'll look back around. We'll look back because it's got a big Rochester history, that Concorde.
Okay, oh yeah.
So these three companies say it is not a matter of if, but a matter of when.
Super fast plane.
Yes, and experts are predicting there could be supersonic commercial flights that you can buy a ticket to within the next decade. 90 minutes from New York to Paris. Well, by 76, we'll be A-okay.
That was Steely Dan knew what they were talking about.
Not Steely Dan, Donald Fagen, IGY. Get it right, you bitch.
Excuse me.
I know he was a Steely Dan, but it's not Steely Dan. So you brought up the Concorde.
Yeah.
Would you like to explain to Kimmy what the Concorde
was? So the Concorde was a supersonic jet.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a needle.
Yeah.
And I think it made it to Europe in 4 hours, 3 hours?
I thought it was shorter than that.
I thought it was 3 hours.
Well, did you hear Donald Fagen?
No.
90 minutes from New York to Paris.
So, because I remember when Phil Collins did two concerts. He did one in London and he did one in Philly and he took the Concorde.
Was it Live Aid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did both concerts.
Hey, remember, don't we have audio of Phil Collins flying on the Concorde over the Atlantic?
Says the Concorde made the crossing in about 2 hours and 52 minutes.
So 3 hours.
Call 3 hours.
Okay.
But you would even have to, Like, you would have to reconfigure, like, airports to land the damn thing. What if you overshoot London, you end up in, like, Brazil?
Well, then you'd be back there.
Shut up, Phil Collins. I'm trying to steal the plane.
I love how there's Phil Collins and a basset hound on the plane at the same time. So you bring up, okay, we'll touch on that. You bring up the Concorde. Yes. Quick sidebar. Do you remember, Tommy, Kimmy, you have to be too young for this.
I do remember.
So the Concorde came to Rochester for the Ryder Cup in 96. Yes. The European team flew over on the Concorde, and you would have thought Christ appeared in Rochester.
So we got off the air, went outside.
And went and looked at.
Yeah, because it was flying in.
Okay.
And like all the news teams were there waiting for it to land because it had never, I don't think it had ever landed there before.
In Rochester?
Yeah, because
why would the Concorde land in Rochester?
Right, so I mean, so it's also like, because most airports weren't designed for
it. Yeah.
Because how fast it goes and stuff.
Sure. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Again, we're talking about this story yesterday. Three companies, including NASA, are in a race to establish the first supersonic jet commuter plane. You could be in from New York to Paris in as little as 90 minutes.
How about the whack on that ticket?
Okay, so we don't have...
the Concorde was super expensive to fly on.
Yeah, because it flew the Ryder Cup team and the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the thing. You say this wouldn't work. What? Why are you laughing?
Well, did somebody?
Wait, are you talking about when the Queen took the Concorde?
Oh, no!
Then, what about that basset hound? Why was the basset hound?
I don't know.
And he's flying, too. He's got no thumbs, if you're watching the live stream.
Did something replace the Concorde?
No, it went away.
So
it
went away, nothing. Problems.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
All right. Crashing and stuff.
Gotcha,
like
gotcha, gotcha. I didn't know if like they came up with just a better method.
No, it just went out of it. It just stopped going.
It wasn't. They could make it work financially either.
Okay, yeah. But here's the thing. You know, you keep saying this is impossible. The experts say it's not. In fact, the technology, what are you talking about when Phil Collins and the Queen were on the Concorde when it crashed? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, who else is on board?
And,
it'd be like Mick or someone?
No, it might not. I don't trust you enough to pull this off three impressions at once. No, so the technology for these planes already exists. The problem is not the price. The problem is not technical. The problem...
What's the problem?
The boom.
Oh, yeah, because that's the other thing. Like, all these cities didn't want to land in, like, Boston and stuff like that that have,
I have to deal
communities
with that.
Around it. Even, like, JFK has, like, neighborhoods around it.
All right, so for those who don't know, these supersonic
screw up
jets,
the Mets schedule.
They break the sound barrier. And if they do it over residential areas, it can be a massive problem.
I can blow out your window.
You got it. Mm. But these companies say they believe they've solved the issue. They've gotten the noise down to, and I quote the story, a sonic thud.
Okay.
Like a little fart.
That's what they say.
Like a sonic fart.
So, but that seems to be the biggest barrier between commercial supersonic jets is the sonic boom.
Yeah, all right.
Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, let me ask you guys this. Let's say they offered supersonic commercial flights tomorrow, and it was affordable.
Yeah.
Would both of you be in?
Oh, yeah.
I'm giving that a solid year before I get on one of those. Minimum.
Great call on her part. Yeah.
Well, you think it's going to crash?
I don't want to be the first to find out.
I mean, she's right. I mean, you brought up. You overshot it. You hit St. Petersburg.
Yeah, you guys work out the kinks first, and then
I'm in.
You flew so fast, you ended up in Leningrad. It hasn't existed for 50 years.
So would you take it if it was for free, though? First, they've tested it out and stuff, but this is like the first paid customers can go. Go for free.
I'm with Kimmy.
Whole family, go for free.
I'm not going. I'm not getting on that plane
for. Taking it all day.
By the way, I think years too short. Give me 5 years.
They've worked on planes, man.
There's been one plane like this, the Concorde. That's it.
Hey, but we flew a ton of it.
And you just said it crashed.
And it burned a couple of times, but you know.
You'd get on it, no questions asked, first flight. Really?
Yeah. Go see Europe. The Europe. Oh, I've been seeing it on TV.
Bro, you're the one guy that can afford to sit on a plane for 6 hours. Got nothing else going on.
I also wonder, I know
you
it's
know
a
what,
short...
Hold on.
What?
No, wait.
What?
Because if I took that
and
that sonic boom went off, it might bother me a little bit because it's so loud.
So it probably really hurt your ears.
But what would it sound like pre that when we're flying along?
Pre? Your ears really hurt?
I love how she asked the question in the voice. Oh, your ears so hurt? I don't know how your pressure goes.
I'm not sure where we're going with this one.
Where were you?
Yeah.
That was
sorry,
it. See, this is why I don't load you up with too many impressions more than you can handle.
I can't do
Well, I do wonder. I know it's a shorter flight, But is it tough on your body? Like, is it hard? Like, is it going to be an uncomfortable hour and a half flight because you're going so fast? So
G-force, take it on.
Yeah.
Is there G-force inside the plane, though?
I don't know. I mean, I would think if you're going
that
fast.
I mean, you feel it when you take off. I mean, you can feel it in your body as you're taking off.
But I thought the G-forces only came from, like, banking and going upside down. By the way, I'm talking out of my you-know-what. I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Like, when you take off on a plane, you get pushed back into the seat. So
if you're going that fast, are you hauling ass?
How would they solve that problem?
Maybe it isn't as bad as we think.
Would it make people sick? People get
Nauseous on flights sometimes. Yeah. It doesn't take much.
Well, by the way, thank you for what we discussed last week that we may be talking about on the air. Oh. That heads up, if we have to go do that, puking Kimmy over here.
The other thing about the Concorde, it wasn't spacious. It was really tight. It was small. So it isn't like you're in a jumbo jet.
Oh.
It's really small and long, but if you're claustrophobic, you wouldn't like it.
All right, I'm out. I'm out.
Why? It'd be being in a commuter flight, but hauling ass.
Yeah, no, I don't like little planes. I don't like little planes at all.
Right.
It bothers me. I told you, the last one I was in, the little one, I watched a big old fat guy get his belt loop stuck on the
handrest
of the seat, and he panicked and freaked out, and I had to free him. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to weigh being claustrophobic versus saving, you know, three hours during your trip. I don't know. Might be worth it still.
All right, so with all of this being said,
the
idea that these three companies, NASA included, believe we will have supersonic jet commuter planes within the next decade. When they figure this out, that's when the NFL will have their European division.
Oh.
Mark my words. Because it will be the same flight time from, like, New York City to Europe as Buffalo to, like, Georgia.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you can get over the ocean.
How are you getting them big asses in that tight-ass plane, bro?
Oh, good question.
It's tight.
Yeah. You'd have to take, like, three of them.
I don't think,
Well, maybe
two at a time, fellas.
Remember, I mean, we're talking about the Concorde in 96. It's 2025. It's 20 years later. Maybe the technology has gotten to a point where you can make those things bigger.
Okay.
I mean, think about the difference.
They got to be wide for them big, wide asses.
But think about the difference in a commercial flight between 1976 and 1996.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that technology just.
Yeah.
Not the planes we flew in. They all still had ashtrays, but.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. No, but I'm telling you, man, like, the supersonic commuter jet is the ticket to make NFL, NBA, NHL, international leagues work.
Okay.
And that'll be it. That'll be the last puzzle piece and we're done.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe you want to get online now and get in the queue to get your first supersonic plane ticket next to Phil Collins, the Queen, and Mick Jagger. And their basset hound that they all take care of.
He's also flying the plane.
And Gus Disnoise. Oh, for some reason.